Rome is the Asti. There did remain villages, and there was farmland out in the Cora, that is to say the plain of Latium. But inside the city, there began to emerge something that would remind us in some ways of one of the Greek poleis. That is to say, would remind us of the Asti, of the center of the city. The Romans, for example, built their first forum, their first great open public square where they conducted their public business. They built their first stone buildings, temples in the first instance, other buildings thereafter. They began to lay out streets. They erected the very first set of walls around their city. Now, it's interesting to think, did the Romans do all of this because, well, this is just what people naturally do? Or were the Romans, in a way, sort of looking over their boundaries, as it were, to the Greeks in the south, where, as we've seen, the Greeks imported into Italy, exported from Greece, the polis? The chances are pretty good that the influence of the Greeks in the south was decisive. That in a way the Romans kind of looked at them and said, oh, well, that's what you do. But it's not impossible that there are Roman sort of originality playing a role here as well. And also, it's important to say that the Romans laid their cities out a little bit differently. The Romans accorded, for example, greater prominence to the forum than would have been the case in a Greek city, where the Agora was perhaps the great central square. Now, this renders pretty controversial the relationship between the Romans and the Etruscans to their north. There's a lot of mystery surrounding the Etruscans, and we don't have time here really to pursue the quite interesting story of these people. Probably originally from the eastern Mediterranean, though that isn't absolutely crystal clear. Exactly when they came to Italy is not crystal clear and is a contentious point among specialists. Suffice it to say that they began to build a series of small towns in the area immediately north of Latium, perhaps as many as 12 small cities. And over a period of time, those cities got quite rich, as indeed the archaeological record indicates, partly from mining, partly from farming, and partly from trade. Now, Roman legend tells us, and in later lectures we'll talk about some of the authors, some of the writers, who actually leave us these legends, but also communicated them to the Romans. So we'll, in a sense, then eavesdrop a little on some of this Roman storytelling. For the moment, we'll just move along and say that Roman legend tells us that the Etruscans conquered the Romans, and then, in 509, the Romans liberated themselves. Well, that story's a bit too tidy. There almost certainly was a long period of mutual interaction, mutual rivalry, mutual influence, one party being dominant at one moment, the other party being dominant at a different moment. Roman tradition again says that Rome was ruled by seven kings, and that it was the last of these, this Etruscan king, Tarquin the Proud, whom the Romans expelled in creating their republic. Well, Rome almost certainly had kings. That seems pretty clear to us. That Rome had seven kings is not so clear to us. We have no number to substitute. I'm not prepared to say, well, I think there were 10. I think there were only 6. But the point is, we can't be sure that the seven of whom the tradition records some information are the only kings that Rome had. Now, Roman kings had fairly broad powers in war, in religion, and in daily life. They led Roman armies. They regulated the public religion of the state. And they regulated a great many civic activities in the city. They left a very deep imprint on Rome's later institutions, as we'll see in more detail really in our next lecture. But the point is that the kings, although the Romans expelled the last kings and did not recreate a monarchy, monarchy left a deep imprint on the Roman constitution. That's the point I wish to make, and one of the reasons to talk about this first couple of hundred years of Roman history, however murky and legendary it may be. It had influence later on. The kings were assisted in ruling Rome in these early times by a group of men called fathers, patres, hence patricians. At Rome, the governing class, the ruling elite are always called the patricians. If you know someone named Patricia, that means she is well-fathered. If you know someone named Patrick, that means he is well-fathered. You say, oh, by heavens, Noble's lost it. Patrick's Irish. Well, he wasn't Irish. He was British. Never mind. But his name is Roman and means well-fathered. Patrick's not an Irish name.